Grace and peace are yours in abundance, in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for us this evening is taken from the Lord's Prayer. It's known as the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Friends in Christ, one of the attractions of the Lord's Prayer is that it is God's creation. It is Jesus' answer to the question, teach us to pray. It's his instruction manual, if you will, for effective prayer. If you take it to heart, you can be sure that you're doing this spiritual exercise with proper form. And any trainer will tell you proper form is very, very important. So tonight we're concentrating on the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is simply, Thy Kingdom Come. This is truly a case of, do you understand what you are asking for? I'm pretty sure a lot of Christians think when they pray, Thy Kingdom Come, that they are asking to go to heaven eventually, or something along those lines. But the first thing I want you to understand, that Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's kingdom to come now. That his Father's kingdom would come and break into this world immediately. We are to pray for the rule and reign of God to be a living reality today. What does that mean? Well, let's think. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word kingdom? If you're me, it's the Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney. We just watched a show about it this past Sunday night. They have Star Wars Land that's coming. It looks amazing, but I digress. You may think of the Magic Kingdom, right? Or the United Kingdom. Or there's various mobile games these days, kingdoms and wars and all those type of things. We Americans haven't spoken of ourselves in terms of kingdom for well over 200 years, but nevertheless, what are some things that we can say about a kingdom? Well, for starters, a kingdom has a king or a queen, someone who's in charge, someone with whom the buck stops. For the Magic Kingdom, that is the CEO of Disney. These days, that's Bob Iger, for those of you keeping track. United Kingdom, that would be the Queen, although the Prime Minister gets to do most of the busy work. Now, what else do kingdoms have? Kingdom has citizens. The Magic Kingdom in Florida has a continually rotating population of tourists from all over the world. The United Kingdom obviously has more permanent residents. So the way it works in a kingdom is someone with power sets the rules. The citizens of that kingdom enjoy the privileges of living there by obeying the rules. I guess it almost goes without saying that a kingdom is a place. There are borders that clearly outline where that kingdom is. If you step over the line, you're no longer in that kingdom anymore. You can point to a map and see exactly where to find the United Kingdom, where to find Walt Disney World, Disneyland. So, how does that compare with the kingdom of God that Jesus is teaching us to pray for? Well, his kingdom obviously has a ruler. That'd be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's kingdom is populated by those whom he has adopted through the waters of holy baptism, on whom he has placed his name. And those are people then who believe that Jesus is, in the words of Hebrews, the exact representation of God's nature. And that is, John the Baptist said, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes the world's sins away. So, God's kingdom has citizens as well. But where is it? That's the key question. You can't point to God's kingdom on a map because it's not a political entity. It's not made by men. God's kingdom is of the Spirit. By definition, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So where is it? Let me suggest to you that God's kingdom is not one place, but it is every place that the story of Jesus is told. In other words, wherever people hear of a God who loved the world so much that he gave his son to become a perfect sacrifice for sins, not to mention giving the gift of eternal life, there's the kingdom of God. There it is. Wherever preachers plead and persuade people to turn away from their sins and turn to Jesus for pardon and peace, there is the kingdom of God. Wherever people, children or adults alike, are baptized in the name of God is placed on them, there is the kingdom of God. Wherever Jesus presides at his table, serving his own body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins, there's the kingdom of God. Wherever teachers faithfully share with their fellow learners the treasures of Holy Scripture, there is the kingdom of God. Wherever families share in the love of Jesus and pray with one another and bring the word and make it central to their homes, there's the kingdom of God. Wherever Christians openly speak about the difference that Jesus has made in their lives, and wherever Christians serve as he served, there's the kingdom of God. Finally, wherever the Holy Spirit enters a heart and ignites the flame of faith in Christ, there it is, kingdom of God. Do you see? This is the kingdom of thy kingdom come. We pray that the story of Jesus would continue to be told everywhere. We pray that the dynamic work of seeking the lost would continue to add citizens to his kingdom. We pray that the hurting would be comforted, that those in need would be served. So how is that going to happen? How's that going to happen? In the days of sailing ships, there were two pastors aboard a vessel heading across the Atlantic Ocean, and a fire broke out in the hold of the ship. And that's when one of the pastors said to the other one, "Come on, brother, let's go down to the end of the ship here and pray." And the reply came back, "No, sir, we're going to stand right here and pass water buckets and pray as we pass them." You see, prayer and action are the Christian's two willing hands. Does that make sense? When you pray, "Thy will be done," you're not just asking God to do his part, but you're also asking him how you can do yours. You're asking him to make you into a kingdom bringer. You're asking your Holy Father to tell the story of Jesus through your life. Do you realize that? That's a big deal. And let me tell you, when you ask God to include you in kingdom building, he will honor that request. He may even lead people right to your door. Take, for instance, a young man named Travis. He writes about himself. "Some years ago, a teenage boy walked into a Lutheran church. To this day, he's not exactly sure why he did, just that he was searching for something. This is the kind of boy you could easily overlook in a crowd, and it would have been very easy for the members of that church to say a polite hello and then go on about their business and forget that they even made contact with him. But that's not what happened. And Travis goes on to explain how some of the members of that church went out of their way to welcome him and show him around and just make him feel at home. And today, Travis is a director of outreach at a church in San Francisco. That's just one example of being a kingdom bringer. And did you see how it works? You know you've brought someone to the kingdom of Jesus, and you've brought the kingdom of Jesus to them when they become a kingdom bringer themselves. From this point forward, when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," I invite you to think about what you can do to bring the kingdom of God to someone else. What does God keep nudging you to do? Is he nagging you somehow right now? Pushing you to something that you're just not really sure about? Well, I'm just going to let you think about that. And as you do, hear the words of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things you need will be added to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Son has given us this marvelous treasure of a prayer. Included in that, he's taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And what a kingdom it is, Lord. A kingdom whose power is already at work in the world, bringing people from darkness into light, from lostness into belonging, all through your shed blood and risen life. This is your work, the work of your Spirit. And yet, for reasons all your own, you have given us the privilege of participating in that kingdom work. You've called each of us to be kingdom bringers, to speak of how Christ is at work in our lives and showing his reality through works of kindness and mercy and compassion. Lord, we humbly and boldly pray, work through us to extend this kingdom from now until the time of your choosing when you return to bring all of your citizens and family members to yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the God of peace himself grant you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Amen.